Good morning, everyone. It is nearly June. The June bugs are already out, and so we're looking forward to more of those coming ahead. But at the same time, which is everybody's best friend, we are still not meeting this week, not assembling this week, and so we'll bring the message today. But look forward to probably a call from me this week, and I will be making contact to give you some indication as to when our next meeting will be, and likely it will be next week. So be in prayer about that, and we will as well. And we've got some preparation to do, some cleanup and some other things, some configuring of things here to make everything safe and good for everyone who does attend. Today we're in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We look at this passage, and it is somewhat of a concluding thought here in this section of 1 Peter. And of course, with the words forever and ever, amen, obviously there is a conclusion here in the sense of a finality that is taking place here. And he's going to go into, as we see in verse number 12, an exhortation, a different, a new exhortation, if you will, that is not so much related to our testimony that we've talked about up till now, but rather that is an encouragement, simply an encouragement for God's people who are going through trials, and an understanding of what it's about and why that God puts us through trials and suffering, why we endure, why God has a plan for the saints of God sometimes to suffer. In this world, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we know there's trouble to be had in this world for God's people. It's going to happen. Get ready for it. It's common. It's normal. And but at the same time, as God's people, then we're to have an understanding. There should be a grateful acknowledgement of our own giftedness for the good and comfort and joy of others around us. And so we're going to look at, and we'll call it today, the gift that keeps giving. The gift that keeps giving, we'll see that. We know some old gifts that kept giving. We used to be that people around Christmas time would always send around the fruit cakes, and the fruit cakes seemed to, and it seemed pretty apparent to me, that sometimes fruit cakes got given multiple times, got shipped across the country more times than just once, and because it was kind of a gift that keeps giving. There are all kinds of gifts that keep giving. Sometimes people will give a gift that's a gift card, and that gift card has no real identity, and so someone might send it to you, and that might not be something that you really like, but you know somebody else who does, and so you might send it off to them. But at any rate, there's kind of a continuation of this kind of a thing. And there's in a certain way, we're to be encouraging one another in our trials when we're going through difficulties and trials. And the encouragement, one of the main people that is an encouragement to us in the scriptures is Job. And if you look over to Job chapter 23 and verse number 10, even Job, during the most difficult times of his trial, he understood. He had an understanding of what it was about. He said in Job 23 and verse number 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job had a knowledge, an unqualified understanding that the trials that he was going through were for the purpose of God making him better. In other words, purifying him, making him better for whatever it was that God's purpose was. Didn't mean that he knew for certain that he was going to be rich and was going to have more family and blessings than he had before, which is what God did, but he knew that God had a good purpose in the trial and in the difficulty that he was going through. And so it is with us. God, when God takes his people through difficult times, through trying times, then there's no doubt about it, but what he is going to bring us forth, he's going to bring us out like gold. And it can be in this life, and it might be in the life to come. But at any rate, God has a good plan, a good purpose in every one of us in all the trials that we go through. That doesn't mean he's going to bring back your mom if you've lost your mom. It doesn't mean he's going to bring back your spouse if you've lost your spouse. It doesn't mean he's going to bring back your daughter or your son if you've lost your daughter or son. And it doesn't mean that he's going to make you rich if you've gone bankrupt. It doesn't mean that, but what it does mean is that God, through the trials that he takes us through, he's going to spiritually enrich us. And in some cases, it is going to be physical as well. Some cases, it is going to be material. Some cases, it is going to be health-wise. But the promise is that God's going to bring us forth as gold. God has got a plan through the trial of helping us, of making us better. And in making us better, what does it do? It gifts us, in a sense, and we're going to look at this, but it gifts us, in a sense, with the ability to give to others, with the ability to help someone else. Every trial that we go through as God's people, we should recognize it as a sense of giftedness from God to be able to encourage someone else who's going through a very difficult time. But this giftedness, he speaks here about the gift. So before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. But we're going to be thinking about the gifts that keep giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We sense our need and we have a desire, Lord, that you bless and that you provide and that you help your people, Lord, who may be going through great trial. We all are going through trial at this time with this virus going around, and we just pray for your blessings upon those who are affected. But pray, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you might protect us, that you might keep us from it. And we just pray for, Lord, your blessings, your healing hand, and the way that you can provide and meet our needs, Lord, day by day. We just pray that you lead us, encourage us, Lord. Help us not to be down, but help us, Lord, to be lifted up and to be, Lord, encouraged to lift one another up. Lord, even as we're going through the suffering, that you'd help us to be those who lift up others. And Lord, that we'd see and we'd know that the trials, that the difficulties, that the suffering that we endure is always going to be for our good and for your glory. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The gifts that keep giving. Well, he talks about the gift here. He says, as every man hath received the gift. What's the context of this? Well, the context is, he says, the end of all things is at hand, verse number 7. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity. That's brotherly love. That's love toward one another. He says, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. He says, charity is going to cover the multitude of sins. He's saying that we need to be good to each other. Verse 9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging, just be good to each other. Help one another. Be good. Going through suffering, be good to one another. And so then he says, as every man hath received the gift, as every man, everybody, every child of God, everyone in the context of a church, every person in the context of an assembly of believers has received the gift. There's certain giftedness that the Lord has given to each and every one of us. That kind of differing giftedness is important to understand. Look with me at Romans chapter 12 and verses 3 through 8. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man, here it is, the measure of faith. He's given to every one of us a certain measure of faith, specific to us, for as we have many members in one body, so there's the church, there's the congregation that we're in, he says, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members, as he says, one of another. Having then gifts, so here's the gift, individual, gifts, each and every one of us have them, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy or preaching, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, serving one another, let us wait on our ministering, let us take care of that, let's do it faithfully, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So he says to, as we read this text, that there is a differing giftedness that's given to each one of us for the purpose of the aid and the help one of another. And so We look at the gift. Let's start out with that. The scripture says there in verse number 10, and as every man hath received the gift, as every man hath received the gift, that gift which God has given me, us individually, as the Lord hath gifted each one of us differently. All of us have differing gifts, as Romans is talking about. As Paul was talking about in Romans, gifted is having been given certain desire and ability from God to provide an experience sometimes from God to provide for the good of others or for their help, fulfilling a certain mutual purpose of good to others. And so we're all seeking to be what others need, as well as to be what the Lord has gifted us to do and to be. And so we find that one thing that happens with that is it changes over the course of time. In other words, my giftedness is to some degree based upon my life experiences. My giftedness may be different tomorrow than it was today because over a course of time. It may be different this year than it was last year. It may be different now than it was years and years ago. Why? Because the Lord continues to work in my life, and he takes me through different experiences, and those experiences, of course, are grounds for giftedness. Those things are ways in which that the Lord can make us to be more beneficial to someone else. And so the gift, that gift which God has just given to each one of us, it changes over the course of time, through difficulties, through trials, sometimes just through simply through old age, simply reaching. I got grandparents that live I have a great grandparent, one great grandparent for sure, that lived to over 100 years old, and have heard that there were others as well. But the fact is that that's a good old age. And there's nothing saying that God's not going to keep us alive that long and keep us alive. I think the Lord's going to keep me to 130, but that's a different subject. But anyway, and I'm just kidding about that. But at any rate, we find, though, that the Lord has a plan for our lives. And don't think it's over. The Lord has a plan for your life. Don't think it's over. Because the fact of the matter is, the Lord's in control of that day. And so up until then, let's serve him. Let's be faithful to him. Let's do his will. Let's seek to understand that when we're going through different kinds of trials, that it may not be the end, but rather it may be the Lord's way of showing us how that he will gift us, how that he will cause us to understand, how to be better equipped to be someone who can help other people going through the same kinds of struggles. So he speaks about the gift here, and I think it's important to realize that and see that. And it should be a grateful acknowledgement of our giftedness for the good, the comfort, and the joy of other saints. Realize that you got a purpose in this life, and it isn't just to please yourself. We got a purpose in this life, and it is to some degree for the joy of others. It's for the joy of fellow saints, to help one another, to be an encouragement, to be a blessing to one another. And obviously, even through the most difficult trial, just as we read, Job could be such an encouragement. And then also these folk who are going through suffering that Peter is ministering to here. So he says, hey, there's a giftedness that God gives, and that's that gift, the gift that he speaks of in verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So he says, okay, now serve as a servant. Minister is a servant. Diakonos, it's the word that's used for deacon. And so it's a form of the word here anyway that's used for deacon. And so it's a servant. It's someone who serves others. His or her purpose is serving others. Well, you know what? As a child of God, our purpose is to serve one another. It is. We have a purpose of serving one another. And it is in the context of a New Testament church, as the scripture talks about. But in general, as believers, we have a mandate to serve one another. Serve as a servant to the brethren, to the congregation, to the church. This is not to be for show. It's not to be for praise, but solely as good stewards of God and of the gifts that he has given. Being a good steward of the grace of God, of the things that God has given unto us. And so he says here, every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. Good stewards. A steward is a caretaker of another's possessions. And so if we've been given a responsibility, in a sense, over something that belongs to someone else. And stewardship is service for someone else and serving like as if whatever it is, whatever the possession is, whatever it might be, belongs to us. Good stewards. So it is not to do ours to do with as we will the possessions, whatever it is. It's not ours to do with as we will or when we will or for whom we will. God wants us to be faithful to him with what he has given. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, the scripture says. And so a faithfulness unto the responsibility, unto the task of carrying out or of best use of that which God has granted us, has gifted us with, that he's speaking about here in this text. As every man hath received the gift, so it's not yours, it's of God, even so, so we've been given it, but for a certain purpose, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So as God has gifted us with the ability to bring others joy, the ability to increase their joy, then we need to be good stewards of that giftedness, to help others, to be of benefit, to mutually benefit one from another, as the Lord's plan is obvious here. And he goes on to say, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold. What's a manifold? Manifold is like it's something that divides up the portions. There's one exhaust pipe, perhaps. And the manifold is that which brings the gas off of each of the cylinders, and so it is. There's this junction, so to speak, of all these things. Well, all these things are becoming one in the manifold grace of God. In the manifold grace of God, God has this single purpose, but he uses multiple resources to bring forth this single mutual purpose. And that purpose within a church involves a whole lot of different kinds of people with different kinds of gifts being brought together into one purpose, one mutual purpose. And so the manifold grace of God that he speaks of here, there's no set model for what a given believer should do in terms of service. We make a big mistake when we try to make believers fit a certain model. Each believer should serve in the capacity that he or she has been gifted, and not try to be just like everyone else, every other believer. Not try to be just like that perfect saint. Not try to be just like that one who always does certain things and has been given in his life an ability to serve in a certain way. No, you're a different part of the manifold, grace of God. You're a different part, and that differing part is good. It's beneficial. It's going to be mutually helpful. And so there's all kinds of ways that we are gifted. Each one of us is gifted to be of benefit to the whole, to the church. There is a proper liberty from being what others, a proper liberty from being what others think that we should be. That we should not feel as if we have to be what everybody else is. We shouldn't feel as if we have to be that particular person that we see that is such a blessing to us, perhaps. We don't have to even be them. We don't have to be someone else than what we are. The Lord wants us to have a certain kind of giftedness. It's sad when congregations are made up of people who are exactly the same. And they think that has to happen. They think that unless you do things exactly the same way I do, that somehow that you are useless. Somehow, I mean, I can't be a member of a church where that they don't do the same thing, where that someone in the congregation or all the congregation doesn't do the same thing I do. I don't want to be, if somebody in that congregation is allowed to be there and they And this particular church, they have such strict rules that, you know, everybody in the congregation has got to, in their service, has to do a certain kind of giving, and they give more than, you know, well, be careful with that. And another thing is that whenever everybody says, hey, you know, you've always, everybody in your congregation got to be a church school, you know, got to be church school, or everybody in this congregation got to have, you know, whatever it might be, has got all these different, sometimes we come up with all these different human rules that may be based on principles from the Word of God, but at the same time, they're not taught. They're not something that is a command from the Word of God. We need to be careful about that. They're not the oracles of God, the very Word of God being spoken. And so we need to be very cautious of that and recognize, don't ever underestimate the good of the manifold nature of God's grace, that God is providing for us and meeting our needs through other people who've gone through other experiences, who are gifted in certain ways and have a part of their personality somehow. God will use them in such a way as that he is using them in a different way than other people. I mean, we had a member of our congregation, and so grateful for him. He has passed on, but so grateful for him. And some people might think, well, you know, his purpose in the church, you think, what was his purpose in the church? And every now and then he would take care of certain church clerk work as it was needed and such. But for the most part, this man was a huge encouragement to everybody because he was jolly, because he simply was a joyful person. He was a person who would have something. It caused you to look at things from a joyful perspective, no matter what condition you might be going through, no matter what things might be going on. He had the gift. He had the ability to make you laugh, to make you smile. And folks know who I'm talking about. But at any rate, we find though that there's a certain way that God uses each and every one of us as a blessing, as a help to one another. Then we find here the scripture says in verse number 11, if any man speak, okay, so that now we're talking about like authoritative speech. You're talking about part of the church and speaking. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Oracles, the logion, the utterances of God. Logos is the word, the word of God. In the beginning was the word, the logos, the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And of course, that was talking about the person of the word, the very revelation of God is Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. He's the logos. And so we read here, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, as the word of God. Look over to Acts chapter 7. Here's this same word is used a few times in Acts chapter 7 and in verse 38. Acts 7, 38, the scripture says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. And it's talking about Moses. He received the lively oracles, the living oracles, the living utterances of God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 2, we see this word used again. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 2, and there the scripture says, much every way. He said, what advantage hath the Jew? What profit had them of circumcision? He says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. To the Jews were committed the word of God. I mean, God used the Jews to give us the scriptures. And so he's saying there's a certain advantage to having been a Jew because they had the word of God. They had the holy scriptures. They had the utterances of God. Unto them were committed the oracles of God. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12 then, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, one other passage that deals with the oracles of God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, and it says there, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone teach you, which be the first principles of the word of God, of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So of the utterances of God, of the very word of God, the word of God is referred to as the oracles of God here. And the oracles of God, the speaking of God, God having spoken. And that's what the word of God is. And it's complete today. And that which, I mean, is complete. And we're not to add to it, and we're not to take away from it according to the scriptures. And so here we have the oracles of God, and he's saying here, so if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak as the word of God. The speaker in a congregation or a church should speak as the oracles of God as to manner and as to matter. With in manner, in the way that we speak, the way that a person should speak who's speaking in the congregation, with reverence and faith as to manner. With reverence, with this is God's word. This is his word. Let's speak with reverence concerning God's word, what he has spoken. And let's speak with faith. Let's believe it. Let's trust that it's true. And let's speak in the sense of, hey, this is not something that is something worthy of controversy. This is not something that is worthy of a big discussion as to whether or not it's true. When we're talking about let's make sure that what we do say is true. In other words, let's not add to the truth of the teaching of God's word. Let's not take away from it, but let's speak it. Let's understand it, and let's grow in it. Let's take the, and let's do our exegesis. Let's take from out of the word of God and understand what it is saying. Let's read it. Let's see it for ourselves. And nothing but the pure, here's Matthew Poole. He says of this, he says concerning the manner and concerning the matter, he says of what it means. When we speak as the oracles of God, nothing but the pure word of God, and do not intrude upon the hearers, or do not obtrude upon the hearers, the fancies, figments, or traditions of men, instead of the oracles of God. He says, now let's concentrate on what God said. Not what somebody says God said, because a lot of people say what God says and they are not right. They are incorrect. A lot of people make up promises and they say, if God says this, then believe it. Well, be careful, because God hasn't said everything. And God, be careful, because sometimes we can cause other people to be very discouraged when promises supposedly from God fall short. And it sounds like, and it seems then like God has fallen short. And he never has, he never does, of his promises. And then we look here, and the scripture says, also, Paul. Remember, Paul, what did he say? We're talking about speaking as the oracles of God. Paul says, preach the word to Timothy. He said to Titus, a bishop then must be blameless and such as this. But he says, holding fast the faithful word, holding fast the faithful word. So holding to the word, sticking to the word. Don't go off on a limb. Don't go off on a tangent away from the word of God. Don't add to it somehow, because it always comes back as bad for the saints. It always comes back as discouragement for the saints going through trials. But be sure that it's the word of God. And then as the ability, the scripture goes on to say, verse number 11, so if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, if any man just serving somebody else, let him do it as of the ability. So everybody's got giftedness, and we're all serving one another. Says, okay, so how do we do it? Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So as not to take it lightly, Let's do it as the ability which God giveth. God's given us ability. Let's take it seriously. Let's not take it lightly. But rather, let's do it diligently. God's given us this. If God's given it to you, he wants you to be a good steward of it. If God's given you certain giftedness, he wants you to use it. He wants you to put it into practice. He wants you to be of benefit to other saints of God. So do it diligently, respectfully, purposefully, intentionally, though. And further, do it in such a way that displays, when we think about this, let him do it as his ministering, as we serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Well, that in a sense means that we do it in such a way that displays the character of God in his goodness, his mercy, his faithfulness, his respect, and his love as we do so toward others. Also, when ability to serve, when we look at this passage, it says, do so as the ability which God giveth. You know what? When the ability to serve in the way that we used to becomes impossible, we're not to fret about that. We're not to fret about that. The fact of the matter is, we can only do in the ability which God gives. And if that has become a transformation and it's changed, if that has changed, and it does over time, and especially in old age, it does over time, then our ability to do certain things, we lose an ability to do certain things, but God is still gifting us. God is still gifting us through the trials, through the difficulty, even through the losses of certain things that we used to be able to do. God is gifting us in other ways to encourage and to be helpful to the joy of one another. And then at God, looking at the next phrase, it says, of the ability, let's do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's a mouthful. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Given the sovereignty of God and his giving, his differential giving, his manifold giving, the manifold grace of God, the way he proportions out, the way he proportions out the measure of faith, the way he gives to each one of us different abilities, different giftedness, and his manifold grace, and his oracles, the word of God that's been given to us. Given his sovereignty over his giving, we've received the gift. Given him in having manifold grace in his sovereignty, given the fact that his word, his oracles are to be followed and to be respected, and the manner and the measure of ability that he gives us, his purpose in it all is that Christ be praised and worshiped as the person worthy of everlasting dominion. God's plan, God's purpose. Sometimes in the Word of God, we get a glimpse into the purpose of God in all things. And one of the ways in which God is one of the things that is God's purpose in everything, and in the things as it relates to our giftedness and how he gifts each one of us to be able to help one another, what is the end result? The praise and the worship of the one who is in dominion forever and ever. Praise and worship of the one who is of Christ, who's to be praised and worshiped as the person who's worthy of everlasting dominion. We are to be Christians primarily. We are to be people who honor and who praise and who worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be a people who are about Jesus, who are about Jesus Christ. We are to be a people whose life is led by Christ. We are to be a people, whenever we're gifted, we understand that it is for the praise of the Lord. It is for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who made us what we are through his death at Calvary, who gave us what we have through his abundant grace in making himself poor that we might become rich. He's the one who is to be glorified in our situation, in our day, in our time. And so now, let's back up. So we looked at these two verses 10 and 11. So how does this relate to Peter's theme of Christian suffering? We've looked at it a little bit, but how does it relate to Peter's theme here of Christian suffering? When the believer suffers, we should consider what God would have us to do to benefit fellow saints in their joy and to glorify Christ to whom we belong. We're bought with a price. We're his. We belong to Christ. When we're suffering, consider what God would have us do. In other words, consider what our gift, in a sense, is right now. Consider what God would have us do to benefit fellow saints in their joy and to glorify Christ to whom we belong. Secondly, realize that suffering can help us realize or even renovate our spiritual giftedness. We can become a God-ordained source of comfort and encouragement and joy to others when we ourselves have endured trials. There's a way in which that God is working this giftedness within us that it would be, as we said, it would be a gift that keeps giving. And that all together that we have these gifts that keep on giving. I believe we see this in Paul's words in 2 Corinthians to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the apostle says there, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." All your tribulation, all the trouble that we go through, all the suffering that we endure, God comforts us. Now, if he's comforting me in all my suffering, then I ought to be a person who recognizes that comfort, number one. But also, I ought to be a person, and that's theoretical, and we have a hard time doing that. Every one of us do. It's easy to say, so easy to say, God's comforting me through this trouble. It's easy to say that's what we should say. It's not easy to say it. It's not easy to recognize it, to acknowledge it. But he's doing it. He's comforting us through this tribulation that we might be able to tell others that this is the God that we serve, that Christ cares, that Jesus Christ is one who cares about us as his people. And going through the most difficult times of suffering, he'll sustain you. He'll sustain you. I can tell you. I can tell you by experience that he'll sustain you when you've lost your wife. He'll sustain you. He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. He will bless you beyond measure. He'll He will be one who will take care of you. When you're going through physical trials and physical suffering, it says this, God will comfort you. God will take care of you. I haven't been through a whole lot of that. And so I haven't been gifted that way to be able to comfort someone else in that respect. And so I don't know how I might be able to do that. Somebody else maybe has, and other people have. They've gone through very difficult trials, physical trials. Maybe they've gone through some things where they had a terrible disease, and God took them through it and got them through it. And he healed them by the means of medicine and by the means of treatment. And such as this. Well, that's a person that God can bless and can use because they've been gifted with an ability to help others, to encourage others through the suffering that they've gone through. Maybe they've had a terrible situation in life, relationally, and they've gone through it, and God has gotten them through it. Then they become a person who is gifted by God for the encouragement and the joy of some other poor saint who's going through the same thing and doesn't know how in the world they're going to live another day. God is good, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able, notice this next part, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So he says, hey, we are certain way, we are gifted to be an encouragement to others. So I'm just saying, how does this relate to Peter's theme of Christian suffering? Well, Christian suffering is all about giftedness. Christian suffering is all about God bringing us forth as gold, purifying us, making us more of a treasure and more of a help to other people than what we used to be. And so over time, through trial, through difficulties, the Lord is gifting us. He's helping us to be a help to others to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll stop right there. Thank you, dear Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have today to look into your word, to explore it, to think upon it, Lord. And your word is so rich. And we just pray that you would bless us, Lord, with the ability that we should have based upon the trials and based upon the experiences that we've gone through in this life, based upon, Lord, sometimes the very desire and propensity that we have toward serving in a certain way, and that we can be of help to others because of that. And we just pray for your blessings, that you'd help us to look at ourselves in this respect. Help us to consider ourselves as being gifted, and that giftedness, whatever, however it has come to us, might be used for the joy of others and for the praise of you, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.